Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. That'll be easy to remember since we're dealing with a double number, 16:16. Proverbs 16:16, the Bible says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Now this little proverb right here, and I'll read it again for you, is probably one of the most valuable proverbs for our generation. Of any of the Proverbs, because according to the book of Revelation, we are in the Laodicean church age. That is, the seventh letter that was written to the church was written to Laodicea, and that represents this time frame in which we are, right here before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Laodicea is concerned with money. "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing," Laodicea says. And the Lord said to that church, he said, "Now wait a minute. You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, but you can't see it because of the wealth." You see, money, gold and silver, has a tendency to blind a man. As a preacher said, it has a tendency to obscure faith. That is, because as long as you have a sufficient amount of money to take care of your immediate needs and your future needs, then why trust the Lord? And so people have pursued with great vigor their accumulation of gold and silver. They are very knowledgeable about 401k plans and IRAs and pension plans and insurance plans and many other types of things to give them financial strength, mutual funds and diversified portfolios and hedge funds and things like that, but they're not knowledgeable about rightly dividing the word of truth and the layout of dispensations in the Bible, for instance. They know one extremely well, and they're very ignorant about the other. Now, this particular verse of Scripture says that it's better, if you had a choice between wisdom and gold, to get the wisdom. It's better, if you had a choice between getting understanding and silver, to get the understanding. But our generation is not like that. Our generation seems to be more interested in the gold and silver, and frankly, because there's so much attention paid to money with preachers these days, it's no wonder that anybody, or it is a great wonder that anybody, has any desire to get wisdom and understanding. Because if you follow the example of so many, and I don't mean all, but so many of the preachers, you would think that the accumulation of wealth is much more important than wisdom and understanding, because it's important to them. Well, in this particular text, the Bible says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Then apparently there are a lot of things you can do with wisdom and understanding that you cannot do with gold and silver. And there are a lot of things of long-term value in wisdom and understanding that are not of long-term value in gold and silver. In other words, wisdom and understanding have more value, longer-term value and short-term value. Something you can do with them now that you can't do with gold and silver, something you can do with them later that you can't do with gold and silver. Notice also in Proverbs chapter 8, which we've already studied, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, the same admonition from the same author. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Receive my instruction and not silver." This is wisdom talking now. And wisdom says, "Get my instruction, don't get silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Well, then, that's a big scale Take all the things that may be desired of men, gold, silver, rubies, diamonds, emeralds, mansions, automobiles, ranches, rockets, you name it. Put that all on one side, all the things that may be desired. That's what he said, all the things that may be desired. Put that on one side of the scale and put wisdom on the other side of the scale, and wisdom is going to weigh out more. It is going to be more desirable and is not to be compared with all those other things. It is far greater, in other words. All right? Now, if you'll notice in Proverbs chapter 8 and in this proverb here, 16:16, wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. Notice in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, they are kind of like inseparable mates. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You say, okay, now what is that? Well, wisdom is, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So, in other words, wisdom boils down to something that comes from fearing God. If you don't live in a God-fearing country, or if you don't live in a God-fearing world, or you don't relate to God-fearing people, then wisdom doesn't seem to have much value to that group, or may not have much value to you. But if you're a God-fearing person, then wisdom becomes a very important thing, and it is, after all, the principal thing. It comes from fearing God. And one preacher said, wisdom is knowing what to be afraid of. In other words, if you're afraid of the dark, or afraid of thunder, or afraid of financial collapse, or afraid of something going wrong in your marriage, or something going wrong with your family, or afraid of your boss, or afraid of people, where you have a fear of people that you have to please them more than please God, then what's going to happen to you is that you are going to lack wisdom, because in fearing those things, you won't fear God. But if you fear God, then you're not going to fear those things, and then you're going to gain a great deal of wisdom from the Lord. Understanding, according to the Bible, is to depart from evil. Now, both of these things are found in Job chapter 28, verse 28, where you've got a combination of things. Job 28:28, you see that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You see? The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Well, there you go then. You take, for instance, a situation where a man has wisdom, okay, but he lacks understanding. Then he's going to fear the Lord, but he's not going to depart from evil, you see. And if he doesn't depart from evil, then he's going to affect some things. For instance, he's going to have sin in his life that's going to affect his fellowship with the Lord. He's going to have sin in his life that could affect his judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. They go hand in hand. If you're going to fear the Lord and get wisdom, then you're also going to depart from evil, because that's understanding. And if you lack one or the other, take a man that departs from evil. He says, oh, I can't do that. I can't drink. I might have a wreck. See, there's some understanding there. He says, oh, I can't do that. I'm not going to smoke. That'll give me lung cancer. There's understanding there. He says, oh, no, I'm not going to go into debt. That will put me in bondage to the lender. There's understanding there. But then he doesn't fear the Lord. You know what happens to him? In all of his understanding and prudent living, he never fears the Lord. He never comes to Jesus Christ and dies and goes to hell. What a terrible tragedy. Here's a man, on the other hand, that fears the Lord and gets saved, and he has the wisdom to get saved, recognizing that in salvation is eternal life, but he won't depart from evil, and so he commits adultery against his wife. He is a financial, he's destitute financially. He makes all kinds of blunders because he loves money. And so here you've got a guy that's on his way to heaven, but he's made an absolute mess of his life. Why? No understanding. It's possible to have one or the other and not have them both. But the admonition of Solomon and the admonition of the Bible is, if you get one, get the other. And the reason is that God approves of wisdom and understanding. Since they go hand in hand, I'm going to show you a passage here where a man had a blank check from the Lord, was given the opportunity to ask anything that he possibly could from the Lord. He asked for wisdom and understanding, and the Lord gave him the wisdom and understanding and complimented him on his choice. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I wonder if the Lord would appear to us as a genie in the bottle, given our state of mind, what we would ask for under the same circumstances as Solomon asked. Many would ask for, well, they may ask for a wife, or they might ask for financial security, or they might ask for children if they haven't ever had any. I mean, they may want something here, but look what happened in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." There it is. It's a blank check. Solomon, you can have anything you want. Isn't that something? How would you like God to show up and give you a blank check? "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." So Solomon starts out by complimenting the Lord on the way that he treated his father. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." So he says, "You've done great what you've done for my father, and now you've put me in charge of this, and I don't know how to run this people." So look what he says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Here's what he's going to ask for. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And what was the Lord's reaction? "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life." You know, we may do that. If you were sick with cancer, and God said, "What do you want?" You might say, "I'd like to live another 15 years. Hezekiah did. He was sick to death, and he said, "Lord, I'll tell you what I want. I want more life." And that might be what you asked for. The Lord said, "I'm glad you didn't ask for it." And he says, "You didn't ask riches for thyself." And some of us, if we were in financial straits, might say, "Lord, we sure would like to have more money." And Solomon was certainly given that opportunity, but he didn't ask for more money. He said, "Neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies." And you know, some of us might have done that. If you had somebody that was trying to kill you, or you had somebody that you didn't like, and the Lord said, "What do you want me to give you?" You might say, "Get that person out of my life." Or you might even go so far as to say, "Kill that person." And Solomon didn't do that. The Lord said, "But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise," there it is, "and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Well, there you go. The Lord really complimented Solomon on his choice and said, "You really something. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. So I'm going to give you a wise and an understanding heart." What a tremendous thing. God approves of that. So not only does Solomon give us that admonition in Proverbs, but the Lord said of life, of the life of thy enemies and of gold and silver, your choice was better than all of those things. Now, if you know the life of Solomon, you know something about Solomon. There was a time in his life, later in his life, that he messed up and did not demonstrate wisdom and did not demonstrate understanding. And what happened was, you know, he had married wives, right? And these wives that he married were, as the Bible says, outlandish women. In other words, they were from out of the land. And these women convinced Solomon that it would be good for them to set up their idols and that they could worship those idols. And Solomon thought, well, these are lovely ladies and I need to please them, and he allowed them to do that. And Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 26 says that what he did was a mess. Nehemiah 13, verse 26 says, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sinned by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." How did they do it? what they did is they asked him to set up idols to their gods and to worship those gods. That's how he messed them up. Or that's how they messed him up. It was a terrible thing. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. We won't do it. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8, that's where the idols were set up. And I'm telling you what, it destroyed the kingdom. The Bible said he loved many strange women and disobeyed God in doing that. God said, if you do marry these strange women, they will turn away your heart after their gods. And that's what they did. That's 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8, if you want to mark that down. Now, you see, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, when he set up the idols, guess what? When a person sets up idols, he begins to fear the idols. I know when I was raised in the church that I was raised in, which was Catholicism, I was told that idols were just an aid to worship. But let me tell you something. There was a fear associated with those idols, more like a superstition, but it's still a fear. That is, I would wear the medals around my neck because I thought that I would get protection from them. And we'd touch the statues sometimes because we thought there was a special type of a protection or power that would come from those. And when we passed in front of the church in a vehicle, we made the sign of the cross because we were afraid that if we didn't, something bad would happen to us. In other words, the superstition was both good and bad. I was talking to a fella that was driving a beer distribution truck and was run off the road by another vehicle and didn't suffer any damage. And he said the reason is that he was praying his rosary, you see. He associated with those beads and with that system of ritualistic prayer a protection. That's why people would go around in their vehicles with St. Christopher hanging off of the mirror or standing on the dashboard, because there was a fear of that idol. The fear was that if I didn't put it here, I would lose protection, but by having it here, I would have protection. So what happened is the fear went to the idol, not to the Lord. And I know it. I was in it. And so when somebody says it's an aid to worship, they're not telling you the whole truth about it. There is an association in the hearts of many of the folks that there's some kind of a power or protection associated with that idol. That's what happened with Solomon. And when that happens, you no longer fear the Lord. You fear the ritual, or you fear the tradition, or you fear the statue. And understanding is to depart from evil, and Solomon didn't do that because idols are evil, and he knew that from the law. In Leviticus 19:4, the Lord told him specifically, "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1, the Lord said to him, I'm talking to Solomon now, "Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God." So the Lord told him specifically, don't do it. And he also gave him warning, if you do, this is what's going to happen to you. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 30, he said, "I will destroy your high places." God did that. "And cut down your images." God did that. "And cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols." God did that. "And my soul shall abhor you." That happened. Nebuchadnezzar came in and ransacked the two southern tribes. Sennacherib and the Assyrians came in and ransacked the 10 northern tribes. "I will make your cities waste." They were. "And bring your sanctuaries unto desolation." The temple was burned to the ground. "And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors." "I will bring the land into desolation." They were run out of the land. "Your enemies will dwell therein." That's how the Samaritans got into Samaria. "And I will scatter you among the heathen." They went all over Assyria. They went all over the land of the Chaldeans. And will draw out a sword after you. Many thousands of them died. "And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths." Why? Because Solomon led them into idolatry by lacking the wisdom and understanding that God had given him. In other words, God gave it to him, and then he neglected to follow it when he was presented with what? The statues of silver and gold. You see, that's our text. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And understanding, to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. You see that? It's a remarkable verse of Scripture we're studying here. Now listen, when the whole universe was made, wisdom was there. When you read Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 30, you see that wisdom predated gold and predated silver and will be here when gold and silver have no value. In other words, wisdom was with the Lord when the clouds were made, when the mountains were made, when the rivers were made, when the sun was made, when the moon was made, when the stars were made. Wisdom was already here. And gold and silver are a product of creation. Wisdom was here before creation. And so the Bible says that wisdom is going to be here even when silver and gold have no value. You say there's coming a time when silver and gold have no value? Absolutely. Absolutely. This whole idea of accumulating wealth to protect yourself for the future, it has worked in the past, and so people think because it's worked in the past, it'll work in the future. But you know what? At a point, that breaks down and it no longer holds valid and true. You see, in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19, we read this. Listen, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Now, our country and our world is just craving gold and silver right now. And he said here it won't satisfy their bowels. You know what? You can't eat gold and you can't eat silver. And ultimately, your survival depends upon your ability to get some food into your mouth and down into your gut and to have health enough to be able to digest it and live by it. Gold and silver can't do that for you. I don't care if you own all the gold and silver in the world. You say, is that true? Yeah, look what happened at the Titanic. If you'd had $1 million in gold to tell a guy to keep swimming in that ocean when he could have had a place on the raft, he would not have given up his place on the raft for all the gold and silver that you had in your possession on that boat. There's no way. Because he had to live to see another day to be able to enjoy the wealth. And swimming around in that water, he never would have been able to do it. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Well, there you go. So you're dealing with a situation here where God is going, it's going to happen for sure, but he's showing you in this particular passage of Scripture that there comes a day when gold and silver are rejected because they cannot deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But you know what? Wisdom and understanding can. Wisdom and understanding can do things for you that money cannot do. Now, there are two examples of this that I want to show you, but I'm going to be brief. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16 to 22, Joab goes up to a city called Abel, and he is going to destroy it because an enemy of David's has run to that city to hide. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16 to 22. What's happened is, 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16, what happens is a man named Sheba runs to hide in that city and to protect himself. And in verse 16, watch what happens. Joab's getting ready to burn the city down to get Sheba. But the Bible says, then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. Now what she does is she tells Joab that Abel's a very important city, and he doesn't want to be responsible for killing the people that are in that city because it's got a great reputation. So she asked him, what do you want? And Joab said, there's a man in there named Sheba, and we need him. And she said, no problem. The woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. That woman, with her wisdom, spared her city by wisdom. No amount of money could have bought Joab off. But one woman, standing there in the wisdom of God, spared the whole city. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'll give you the other example. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, this is an unnamed poor man. Nobody even remembers who he is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, we'll give verse 13 for the context. Watch. Solomon says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it." So that's, you know, a small city with few men in it. There's no way they can protect themselves, right? "And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it." They're going to wipe that place out. Verse 15, "Now there was found in it a poor wise man." Okay, a poor wise man, you know what he doesn't have? Gold and silver. You know what he does have? Wisdom. "A poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man." They don't know who he is. But somehow, in his wisdom, he was able to negotiate with that king and get those men out of there and spare that city. You see something? He was impoverished. He had no gold and silver, but he had wisdom, and by his wisdom, he did something gold and silver could not have done. As a matter of fact, too much gold and silver, and the king definitely would have destroyed the city to get it. So what are we to draw from this? Well, in all of your labor to get wealth, you are not wise if you neglect to labor to get wisdom. In all of your labor to get wealth, you are not wise if you neglect to labor to get wisdom. That's right. In other words, if you put in your 8 to 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day or however long you work to get yourself some money, and you are too worn out and too tired to sit down and read the Bible, then you have overworked yourself for money and underworked yourself for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. That's one way to get it. And read the Bible. That'll give you wisdom. And then sit under good preaching and good teaching to get it. There are a lot of men who skip church on Sunday in order to make more money. You see that? And when you skip church to make money, then you are denying yourself the access to good preaching and teaching to get more wisdom. You say, "Well, I don't know a preacher that will preach like that." Keep looking. You'll find them. And then get it by wise counsel. Surround yourself with wise men who have a demonstrated gift for wisdom and learn from them. So pray for it, read the Bible, sit under good preaching and teaching, and get it by wise counsel. Everyone today is so fired up about getting wealth and retaining their wealth that they are neglecting these two most important things in their lives. Don't you be one of those. Follow what Solomon said. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And may God bless you in your labor to get it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.